Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier. Welcome to the Watchman's Corner. We are broadcasting on the Omega Radio Network. It is the 17th day of May, 2018. We've got a super busy day today, and I'm sure that you have a lot of work to do. And so I'm thankful that all of you are joining in on the broadcast today. Wherever you're listening on the Omega Radio Network or on Blog Talk Radio, I want to welcome you to the broadcast. Tonight, we're going to be hosting, actually emceeing a tea party. Can you believe that? But it's an awesome tea party. It's part of our church where we meet with two other ministries. And this is the Institute for Music, where Drs. Scott and Carolyn Buss are going to be hosting a tea party tonight. It's a great concert and instrumental, a big dinner being served. And oh, I think they've already sold out all the tickets, and there's actually about 50 people over that wanted to buy tickets, and who knows how many more are coming. But regardless of all of that, it's going to be a great evening. We're excited about it. We're trusting the Lord to do some great things there, and we're happy to be there. But this morning has been quite an interesting morning. Woke up this morning hearing a couple of things in my spirit, and God was ministering to my heart. And the first one I had was regarding a dear friend of mine, and something God showed me about, and we had a chance to actually talk about it, and it was confirmed to be true. And so I'm trusting what God has put in my heart for you this morning, for this radio broadcast, will be as accurate. And I want to begin this morning's broadcast by reading out of the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. And so if you are following in a Bible, I want to give you a moment to get there, Luke chapter 12, or if you're just standing by, maybe driving, you can't do any of that, we're going to go ahead and get into the scripture. And I do trust that we're coming through loud and clear. Yesterday we had a little issues going on with our sound, and so I trust that we are moving forward with the proper sound, okay? If not, somebody's going to have to either text me, please, or press one on the dial pad if you're listening on the phone and let us know how the sound is doing. We have made all the corrections possible. So Luke chapter 12, verse 35, and we're going to read. These are all the words of Jesus, by the way. Okay, this is all in red ink. Jesus said, 12:35, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Now, I'm going to take my time through this, and I want to look at the word loins, first of all, and that is the Greek word osphus, if you will, and it literally means your hip, or it is a place where the Hebrews thought the generative power, in other words, this is the very inward part of where life is created, if you will, being as simple as we can. It's the literal place of the procreative power. Okay, so let your loins, the place of life, the place of procreative power that is within you, speaking in general terms as a male, let them be girded about. And what does it mean to be girded about? Well, that word there is perizonumi, and that word in the Greek simply means to gird all around, to fasten on one's belt. In other words, tighten things up. In other words, where the procreative power in your life, the center of your existence, let that inward part of you be secured and not just loosely hanging around. Excuse me, if you know what I mean. You don't want your inward parts just hanging out. You want to tighten things up. You want to have a secure base. You want to have a core that is intact. And Jesus is talking in these terms, and he's talking to you and I today, and he's saying that you and I are to let our loins, our inward parts, be girded about and our lights burning. Our lights burning. And that's the Greek word leuknos for lights. And it literally means your candle or your lamp. And this goes back to Jesus in the early chapters of Matthew, where he said, a city on a hill cannot be hid, that you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works. And I love the word light here because it not only refers to a candle or a lamp, and you know that your spirit is the candle of the Lord, but it means a portable lamp or other, love this, illuminator. How many of you know that the light that is in you, which is Christ, is an illuminator? An illumination to the world around you, that you in the spirit world that have light are actually walking in a very dark satanic world, but the light that is in you is an illumination to those who are lost in the darkness. Now, this is also connected to Matthew chapter 25 about the 10 virgins, and the darker it gets in the last days, how important is it going to be for your lamp to be shining brightly, right? And this is what Jesus was actually referring to when he was saying these things. Let your loins be girded. In other words, now what your loins represent the place, and I'm going to have to be graphic just for a moment. It's the semen. It's referring to the semen in a man that produces life in a woman, right? So that semen is likened unto oil, and the lamp is the only way to keep it burning is to make sure that you have the oil. And the 10 virgins, five of them were wise. They had oil in their lamps. Others had lamps, but they had no oil because somewhere they didn't tighten up their inner belt and they let that anointing, that life-giving power in us, get out somehow. It seeped through. It was not tightened up. And Jesus is saying to the wise virgins in this hour, you really need to tighten up your belt and secure your oil where you have your oil, the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit, because it's going to get very dark and your lights are supposed to be burning. Just because it's dark, just because the powers of darkness are coming, does not mean that you hide your light under a bushel. Okay? It is to be absolutely burning. And I love that word burning in the Greek is kaio. Kaio is the word, and it actually means to kindle, to set on fire, to consume, and to burn. All right, so to have your lights burning is to set on fire. Now, that's going to be very important for where we're going here today. Remember that phrase, to set on fire, i.e. kindle. All right, so your lights are to be set on fire. Okay, there's a kindling that's going on here. Now, Jesus goes on. And let me read that verse one more time. We're talking Luke 12:35. He's talking to you personally, me personally. He's talking to us corporately, to whoever has an ear to hear, who's following the Lord Jesus, that takes heed to his instruction. Again, let your inner life, the Holy Spirit, be girded about. Don't just let the Holy Spirit be loose in you, in other words. And your lights, your candle of the Lord, the illuminator, your lamps burning. Verse 36. And you yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord. Okay, so here is the proper posture of the end times for God's people. With all that's going on in this world, the most important thing is to know that you have life-giving power in you, the Holy Spirit, to know that you have been called to be a burning lamp set on fire. Your life is to be set on fire, so it's like a torch burning in the night. Do you ever see those movies when somebody's walking in a dark cave and they light a torch and it lights the way? And you are that burning torch. You are the illuminator. You're the one that the people will come out of darkness to the light, and that light is not your own or my own. It is Christ, and this is where salvation comes in. Now, our posture is that you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. And I love this word wait. It's prodoskomi, and what it literally means is, and this is interesting, it means to admit or course or hospitality. It literally means endurance. Okay, figuratively, I meant not literally, but figuratively in the definition, it means endurance, and by implication, to wait with confidence or patience. So the Lord Jesus is telling his people that their waiting is to be admitted into intercourse. In other words, you're not waiting alone over in the corner, but there is a waiting, there's an intercourse, and there's a hospitality, and there's also required the endurance and waiting with confidence or patience. So waiting does not have to be a long, drawn-out, empty thing. It can incorporate into it all the qualities of expectation, and that's where we get the word hope from, by the way. So again, yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. There's been a lot of talk about weddings lately. We've actually had some beautiful weddings around here. And, you know, there's a big wedding going on in the royal family and all this stuff. So weddings are in the air. It's very interesting. The timing of this Bible study that the Holy Spirit put on my heart this morning to share with you, because again, it's at a time where men will be marrying, giving in marriage. There'll be all kinds of activity. Weddings are wonderful. And even the Lord is like one in this parable where he's actually returning from the wedding. Now, he says here that when he comes and knocks, they open unto him immediately. Now, you know, if you're watching, right, you're listening, you're waiting for the Lord to return from the wedding, well, when he knocks, immediately you're going to be at the door. And then he says in verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes from the wedding, shall find watching. So there's a blessing on those who are watching, and that word watching is gregorio, okay? And it literally means to keep awake, to be vigilant. And so as Christian men and women in this world in which we live, in the times that we're living, the advocation from the Lord is to keep yourself awake, keep your light burning, keep your loins girded. I mean, he's really calling to a watchfulness and a preparation and a listening for the Lord, okay? Because why? Here's what it says in 37 again. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Now, there's a concept not too many people talk about. It's kind of seems sacrilegious in a sense or blasphemous to think that the Lord is going to gird himself with a servant's garment and make the ones who were ready to sit down and he's going to serve them. Wow. But you know, in reality, the Lord has been serving us from the beginning of time. You talk about the graciousness of the heart of God. He has been serving his creation. Believe it or not, we're called to serve him, but is he not the one that served us in dying on the cross? Has he not served us by giving us the Holy Spirit? Yes, the Lord is a humble God, and he's the most powerful in the universe, and yet He's telling us, the Lord Jesus, that he himself will sit down and serve those who have been watching for his coming. I mean, that is a beautiful picture, a very powerful picture of his humility, but it doesn't make us lords over him at all. You know, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. Verse 38, Luke 12, 38. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Find them so what? Their loins girded about, their lights burning, men that are waiting with confident expectation. They've been enduring, okay? They've been on a vigil, all right? And they're immediately going to be able to respond to the knock at the door because that's the position, condition of their spirit is waiting. Lord, I'm waiting to hear a voice from you. Lord, I'm waiting to hear direction from you. Lord, I want to know your truth. I want you to guide me. I want you to direct me. And if you come to me, I want to be aware of you. And so the way that I make myself aware of the Lord is by pressing in and having the inward thought on the Lord, right? So there's all kinds of activity going on here. There's a blessing to those that he finds in such a condition. And then he says in Luke 12:39, and this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. And I think that is a very, very interesting conversation that needs to be talked about. That, again, 39, this know that if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief was coming. Now, who is the thief is what we need to ask ourselves. And one question, one answer that I have to that question is found in Revelation chapter 3, something we talk about a lot in this ministry. In Revelation chapter 3, I'm going to begin in verse, I'll just read verse 1. There are not too many verses. Listen to this. Hold your finger in Luke 12. Now we're in Revelation chapter 3. Jesus said if the good man knew when the thief was coming, he would have watched and not suffered himself for his house to be broken through. So Revelation 3:1, unto the angel of the church in Sardis. This isn't the angel of the world. This is the angel of the church. These things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you're dead. Be watchful, which is consistent with what we're reading, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. He's looking for perfect works in the church. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, hold fast and repent. If, therefore, you shall not watch, all right, here it is. If you will not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come upon you. Now, in the story, we know what the thief, Jesus, referred to himself. I will come to you as a thief, right? So, which means he's going to steal something, and we know what he's stealing. In verse 4, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot, erase, or steal his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So we're going to go back to Luke, but it's very interesting that Jesus is talking about those that are watching will not allow their homes to be broken into. Okay? So, 12:39 again, back to Luke. This know that if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief would come. So if people are watching, if people are alert, if people are aware, they will not have to worry about a thief coming in and breaking into their stuff, because he would have watched and not have allowed his house to be broken through. So again, the advocation is watch. And then 12:40, Jesus kind of puts it all together and he says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you think not. So the advocation to watch, and it's also to be ready. Listen to the definition of to be made ready. Okay, this is the Greek word hetimos. Now, these are the words of Jesus. This is his conversation. This is his truth, his reality to his people, particularly in the last days when he's coming. Right? This is all about his coming. Now, here's the word. The word to be ready, be also ready, literally means prepare, to be prepared, or to be in fitness. It literally means to be fit, not just all hanging out, but to be fit, spirit, soul, and body, and adjusted. You see, what's happening in our daily walk with the Lord is adjustments are being made in our lives to bring us to the fullness, right? So there, we must be fit, spirit, soul, and body, not give our, you know, if you let your mind get weak, I'm telling you, there are forces that'll take your mind over. You do not want your brain to become blubber. You do not want your mind to become weak because you're filling it with the things of the world, or you're filling it with things that don't matter, dumbing people down, right? You want to keep your mind sharp, and the best way to keep the mind sharp is in the Word of God, reading the Bible, getting God's Word. And what it will do is strengthen that lazy soulical realm and deal with that carnal flesh that has no interest for the things of God. But by keeping your spirit in the forefront, allowing it to dominate your soul and your physical body, there can be adjustments made that get you ready. And again, the definition, prepared. Okay? So you have this advocation from the Lord is all about being prepared. Verse 40 again, Luke 12:40. Be ye therefore ready or prepared also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. So Jesus is saying, it's going to, in the last days, all kinds of stuff's going to be happening, but I'm foretelling you that the proper condition and position of your spirit, soul, and body must be in the watch. It must be girded up. It must be your light burning. You don't want your fire to go out. You don't want your light to go out. You don't want your salt to lose its saltiness. We know the advocation. Now, here's the contrary side in verse 41, Luke 12:41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And the Lord said, who then? So in other words, to whosoever will. Here it is. Who then is that faithful and wise steward? You notice we've gone from the servant to the steward now. And he's answering the question, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Now, the word faithful there is pistos. We all know that comes from the word faith, right? And it simply means, listen to this. This definition is so awesome. The word there, faithful, simply means trustworthy, or someone who can be trusted. In other words, believing. You know, the most trustworthy people in God's economy are people that believe everything that God said. And people that believe what he said live according to what he said. Because belief is not just in, you know, a mental assent. A person, what they believe is how they live. They act on what they believe. And so when a person believes everything that God has said and they live their life according to that belief, it shows up and they are the ones who he can trust with important assignments. Okay, these are the stewards. These aren't the servants. These are the stewards. So the Lord said, who then is that faithful or that trustworthy or that believing and wise steward? Well, the word wise there is phronimos, and the word means intelligent with the Holy Spirit. It's the spiritual intelligence of God. In other words, the wisdom from above is, first of all, pure, easy to be entreated, full of good fruits, gentle. And so that's talking about the comparison between the intelligence of God and the intelligence of the world, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the world. We know the wisdom of the world is sensual, demonic, devilish, okay, self-serving. It's all about that. But the intelligence of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God, okay, this is the phronios, he who is faithful and wise And that word also means prudent and thoughtful, sagacious, or discreet. Oh, man, do we need to be more discreet? It's implying a cautious character. In other words, not just, you know, blabbing things out, not just, you know, revealing every intent. I mean, the wisdom, the wise, have a very cautious character. They are very discreet. They are thoughtful. They don't speak without thinking. It also denotes a practical skill or acumen, and it indicates rather intelligence or mental acquirement. Okay, so what is this all talking about? Jesus, once again, is saying to the people of his moment that it is to the faithful and wise steward. Okay, and he's asking, who then is that faithful and wise steward? And again, I like the word steward. It's oknomos, and that has a lot of definition to it, but it's really someone that is a house distributor, a manager, an overseer. And I believe this is where God has been speaking to us for quite some time, that he wants to accelerate his purpose in the earth, and he's going to bestow. Remember the Apostle Paul said, we are stewards of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So God, you know, gives things to the stewards because they can handle it. They're trustworthy with it. And the move of God that is coming on the earth to advance God's kingdom purposes are going to be given, and these assignments are going to be given to the stewards, the faithful stewards that are going to be able to carry out what it is that God wants to get done. The steward also means a fiscal agent or a treasurer, figuratively, a preacher of the gospel. So a governor, a chamberlain. So God is giving assignments to the stewards to carry out his purpose in the earth. And he's looking and he's saying this. The Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Now, here's the word of the Lord. This is for somebody out there today, okay? You're sitting back in your life and you're wondering, boy, I don't seem to be that involved with all that God is doing. You know, I want to be involved. I'm available to the Lord, but I just don't seem to be, you know, managing the things of God or stewarding the things of God or serving the purposes of God like I'd like to. Well, or you are doing the best you can, and you look around and you say, well, look at all these people over here getting this, and all these people over here are doing that, and all these people over here. Well, look carefully to what Jesus said. He said that to the faithful and wise steward, he's going to make him or her ruler over his household to give them their portion in due season. You see, there is a due season for your life when God is going to give you authority over his household. He's going to give you your portion of meat. Just because you're looking around you and seeing other people having their portion of meat doesn't mean that God's not going to give you your portion of meat. In other words, your time for receiving the portion to work and labor in the kingdom of God, to be a steward in the house of God, is at hand. But what is happening is God is stretching you out. He's preparing you to be able to handle it by allowing you to go through trials to build up your faith. You see, God has to test us to see whether or not we are trustworthy yet for the portion that he wants to give us. And if we're not, it's not that he doesn't love us, but he certainly is not going to give us great responsibility when we're not ready to handle it, because that will not serve his purpose. And everything that we do is about him. It's not about us. And so I believe there is a due season, and I believe we happen to be in a due season right now where God is about to do some things. And I love the definition here, because it goes to one of my favorite words. The word that phrase there, due season, is kairos. And the kairos moment is, this is what it actually means, kairos. It means an occasion or a set or proper time. It is an opportunity. It is a season. And when I've studied out the kairos, and I go to Ephesians 1:10 always to look at the kairos, and what it means is opportunity in the midst of a crisis. but it is a set or proper time. And I'm telling you that God has a set and proper time to get to you your portion. Your portion is being served up, and God is just making sure that you are maintaining a believing spirit, that you have endured, that you have not thrown in the towel, you've not tired, you've not given up. And there's something else he's going to say here in just a moment that is going to put this all together. And he wants to know that you've been operating in wisdom, that he could trust you, that you have intelligence that has been established within you, not just every once in a while getting something, but you have learned how to be wise on a daily basis, moment to moment. And God is intending, dear brother, dear sister, to make you a ruler over his household. I mean, my goodness. And what is that word ruler there? That word literally means to place down permanently, to appoint permanently. In other words, God has something that he wants to get in done in our lives that is permanent. You see, he's preparing us for more than this transient world that we live in. We know that everything we see here and now is temporary. The Bible tells us that. We live in a temporary world, but God is getting you and I permanent of the eternal, everlasting kingdom and world that we're going to. And we're going to be serving God in a much higher way than anything that we could ever be doing on this earth. So everything we're doing here is in preparation for what God wants to do. Does that mean that there's not anything that God wants us to do while we're here? No, because there's kingdom business that needs to be transacted on this earth right now to advance God's cause in the earth. And that is, again, the requirement is that we are wise and that we are trustworthy and believing of the things of God. So be encouraged today that you are living in a due season. This is a Kairos moment where God has got some things that he is going to get to you because you have been found faithful. You are a good steward, and he's going to make you a ruler ultimately in the permanence of his household business. Man, is that good stuff, right? So Luke 12:43, Jesus continues. Watch this. He says, blessed is that servant, he goes back to the servant, whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. So he's putting this all together now about the servant, about the steward that will be ruling and reigning through his faithfulness. He's asking, who is that one that I could get everything to? That's what he's asking. I've got authority. I've got assignment. I've got business, and I need to get it to my ecclesia. I need to get it to my church, but I need to get it to the stewards. Who then is a faithful steward that I can entrust the mysteries of the kingdom of this hour to make sure that it is well-defined, well-carried out, fully understood what the purpose of the master is? Who can I give this to? This is what he's looking for. Okay, and then other assignments within. So blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing, which is waiting. Their lamps are burning, et cetera, et cetera. They've been wise. They've been faithful. And of a truth, he says again in verse 44, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Ladies and gentlemen, our life on earth is temporary. Where we're going is eternal. It's never ending. And yet there are things here on earth that we're all going to touch in the economy of God's kingdom because part of it. Now, here's the contrary. Here's the contrast to what we've been talking about. Verse 45. This is where we have to beware. Luke 12:45, but and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. In other words, the Lord is not responding as quickly as I want him to. The Lord is delaying. And shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens and to eat and drink and to be drunken. Now, going back to verse 45, but and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants. And that word beat is tupto. And it literally means to thump, pummel, with repeated blows, with the fist or a hammer, with the palm, to punish the conscience. Wow. Powerful, is it not? And so the steward, the servant, has to be very careful not to say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and begins to act out in this abusive manner towards the men servants, the maidens. He begins to eat and drink, to be drunk. In other words, he didn't have faith. He wasn't waiting with his lamp burning. He took a casual approach. He didn't gird up the loins. He's losing his oil. Now, verse 46 says this. The Lord of... Boy, does that not put the fear of God in you, by the way? It should. The women, the way you treat your husband, you could fit this bill. Pastor, the way that you treat God's church, you could fit this bill. Wives, the way you treat your husbands, could fit in. You could become so discontent within yourself that you start treating other people in a negative way. And why are you discontent? Because the Lord hasn't come and done what you thought he should do when you thought he should, right? So this is a very powerful, intrinsic, you know, fear of the Lord, shake me up, turn me upside down and inside out kind of thing here. Why? Listen to this. Verse 46, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, because he's going to get caught off guard because he's not been watching, and will cut him in sunder. Wow, what does that mean to be cut in sunder? It literally means to flog severely, to literally cut in half. It's going to cut him in half. This was somebody that was committed to be a servant, right? And so the Lord of that servant, in verse 46, will come in a day when he looks not for him, at an hour when he's not aware, will cut him in two, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now, where are the unbelievers going, ladies and gentlemen? The unbelievers are going into the lake of fire. Because it says, literally, let me read this in Revelation chapter 21, verse 7, and I believe verse 8 as well. It says this in Revelation 21, verse 7, and I'll start there. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If he's going to appoint them a portion with the unbelievers, we just saw that the unbelievers are going into the lake of fire. And what's happening here is that this servant in Luke 12:46 was one that began okay, but he said the Lord's delaying. So I'm going to start acting differently. He began okay. He began watchful. He was burning. He was waiting. But through the delay, he let his loins unwind a little bit. Started acting differently. Okay? Very, very severe. Luke 12:47. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So there's one that's going to be appointed with the unbelievers because he begins to treat other people in a wrong manner. And then there's the servant which knew his Lord's will but didn't prepare himself. He didn't do according to his will. So that's just somebody that's not honoring the Lord. Well, he's going to be beaten. Listen to the phraseology here, the words. He's going to be beaten with many stripes. Now, praise God, it doesn't say this one's going into heaven, but you know what the word beaten means? It means to flay, to scourge, to thrash, to smite. Now, I don't know about you, but I think there's another Jesus being preached in the world today because the other Jesus being preached in many churches doesn't do this stuff, right? But this Jesus does. This Jesus certainly does. He says what's going to happen. What are those stripes? Many stripes. Well, have you felt some stripes in your life lately? Let's move on. Luke 12:48. But he that knew not, and here's the mercy of God. He that doesn't know, and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. But he's still going to get beaten. Okay? For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So everybody that has a lot of responsibility out there, man, are you going to be held responsible? I'm telling you, this is a big deal. Now, there are people that basically don't know. They did some things that were worthy of stripes, but it was they didn't know. And they will be beaten. There will be discipline, but it will be a few stripes. A few stripes. Well, you say, well, what is a few? Well, it's oligos, right? And it means just a duration, okay, a short or a small season. In other words, the stripes aren't these, go to your bedroom, I'm going to beat you. No, there are seasons that God brings his people into where they have to go through it. Now, some people go through years in their life to be dealt with for the things they've done because they knew better. And then there are people that go into seasons of difficulty and, you know, until they get an aha experience. And all of these seasons of beatings are intended to awaken, all right? I'd rather be beaten, even on the harshest sense, with many stripes, to get wakened up from my delusion than to be cast into the lake of fire with the unbelievers. How about you? None of it's pleasant. It's better to be watchful, obedient, full of faith. You know, that's the way to live. Nobody wants to get beaten. So now we move on to verse 49. And this is the scripture. I could not find any commentary on it, but this is what I woke up with in my spirit this morning. This came into my spirit, and I gave all that forerunner event stuff, but now here it is. Jesus speaking, Luke 12:49. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? I am come to send fire on the earth? Well, Lord, what are you saying? You've come to send fire on the earth, and it's already been kindled. Verse 50 says, but I have a baptism to be baptized with. I'm sure he's referring to the crucifixion. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? And, you know, that must have been a very, very intense thing where the Lord is just saying, I'm holding things together. I'm compressed. Okay. I'm constrained. You know, this is not an easy thing that's going on. So it was all inward. And the Lord is saying that there's this, he's sending fire, but he's got a baptism. And then in verse 51, he says this, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. Now, I don't know about the Jesus that you believe in, but I'm reading the words of the Jesus of the Bible who said that he has come to send fire on this earth and he did not come to bring peace to it. He came to bring division to it. Now, that's very interesting because the angel said, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Yes, peace came to earth. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And all who come to him find peace. The world who rejects him, he didn't come to give it peace. He came to send fire and division. And one day, very soon, it's already happening in some parts of the world, but globally, this world is going to be begging for peace. The chaos, the confusion, the war, the slaughter, the evil, the demonic, the crazy, insane reality that's going to hit this earth, people are going to beg for peace. They already are. They hear voices in their head all the time. They need prescription pills just to keep them sound because they can't handle the turmoil in themselves because of what's going on around and about because they're not burning, right? The world, though, is going to beg for peace. And guess what? it's not going to be given to them. So they're going to look to anybody that can offer a solution to the insanity that will run rampant when the demonic is released into the atmosphere, out of that pit of Revelation 9 and other places. When the demonic is manifested, when Satan is thrown out of the second heaven and onto this earth, the evil demonic atmosphere is going to be so changed on this earth. I don't think people think about this too often. Have you ever stepped into an environment where you could feel the demonic? Well, when Satan comes onto planet Earth, which is Revelation 12, and brings all of his kingdom with him and all of his demonic forces with him, the atmosphere of planet Earth at that time is going to shift, because God is going to allow this to happen. And only those who have been watching, and only those who are on fire, and only those who have kept the watch and been faithful, believing, only those who have carried out the will of the master, doing what he said to do on a daily basis, are going to have what it takes to go through this time. But can you imagine the demonic reality? Now, the world, we're told in the book of Revelation chapter 13 that the whole world, whoever's name is not written in the book of life, so we're talking about the world here, they're going to worship the devil. Now, how and why will the world worship the devil? Because when the devil comes onto planet Earth, he's going to come as an angel of light, not with a pitchfork, not with a red cape. He's going to come as a problem solver. He's going to come as Lucifer, the light bearer, the angel of light of the Masonic lodge, if you will, as the Illuminati, the illuminator, the false one, the Antichrist, the counterfeit Jesus, okay? So this demonic is coming, and the world is going to worship, because this demonic is going to have a solution for the world to find some peace. But it's a pseudo peace. It's a false peace. But the world is going to suck it up and say, we want it. They're going to receive the mark of the beast. And they're going to relish in the peace. And they're going to worship the dragon. They're going to worship the devil, whether they know it or not. They're going to worship. And as they're worshiping the system, the law that brought peace, or the one that put an end to wars, or release something into the atmosphere that would give people a false hope, but at least the insanity is restrained. Ladies and gentlemen, this is coming. And Jesus said, I'm not coming to bring peace on earth. He literally answered his question. And for every Christian out there that keeps trying to tell the world, you know, you can have peace, there is no peace. Don't tell the world that they're going to be at peace, and don't tell the world everything is all right. No, it's not. If anybody in the world wants peace, that's where we bring them to Jesus. And we bring the knowledge of Jesus to them so that they could come into the Prince of Peace and experience real peace in the midst of the storm, at the blade of an Islamic sword or some other weapon. There is real peace in Jesus. There is genuine peace of mind. I, for one, want it. I know you do too. And guess what? The world wants peace too, but it's not going to have any peace. Peace that the atmosphere has afforded people, particularly in America, where, you know, there's all kinds of stuff to distract us from the terrible things going on. Distraction is not peace, folks. Distraction's a band-aid. Find Jesus, find peace. Know Jesus, know peace. Come on. The world's going to beg for peace very soon. Can't you see it all around you, what's swirling? Big events are ready to happen. I believe for America, June gloom. That is only my belief, and I'm staying with it. I believe something's going to hit this nation in June. Regardless, things are already, people in Hawaii have lost their peace. the people that were shot and killed in Las Vegas, Nevada, they lost their lives, but a lot of their family and friends lost peace. The 26 Christians that were murdered in Texas in a Baptist church just months ago created a lack of peace in many people's lives. The 17 students that were killed in Parkland, Florida, in a high school a few months ago, they lost peace. The world started talking. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about these problems? Oh, gun control. And they get into the politics of things. They're looking for answers, solutions that will bring peace. But taking guns away isn't going to solve the human condition. It won't. The world's about to go into a very, very, very dark place, ladies and gentlemen. And the only bastion of real, genuine peace will be in your relationship, in your intercourse, Yeshua, with Messiah Jesus, our Lord and Savior. That's it. To be in Him, to obey Him, to follow Him, to be instructed, to make sure you have oil in your lamp, Holy Spirit, divine God oil. Watch your attitude towards one another. Watch your conduct. Listen carefully. If you find yourself getting out of whack, get adjusted. Remember, one of the definitions is adjustment. You got to get adjusted. I have to get adjusted. When I find things not working in the right direction and God reveals it, we got to adjust, make adjustments. Check our hearts, see where we're at. The heart is, above all, deceitfully wicked. There's nothing more deceitful in you than your own heart if it's not sanctified and there's not a new heart in the stony heart God. So these are keys to survival, and I think that they should be helpful to us. And then I want to just finish this up. Jesus said in verse 51, "Suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division." Division. And that word division in the Greek, it's one of those long ones. It's diamerosmos, okay, something like that. And it literally means a parting, a distribution, a disunion, a disunion. Do you know that the word judgment three times in the New Testament is used in Greek? There's three Greek words, krema, krino, and krisis. Do you know that each one of those words actually have to do with separating? Dividing? Do you know that the English word crises is derived from the Greek word krisis? And judgment is a crisis. So when a crisis hits a person or a family or a church or a nation, that crisis is intended by God to literally separate what is right from what is wrong. It's judgment. It's crisis. And Jesus said, "I came to bring a crisis on this earth. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a crisis. And the crisis that I will bring will separate the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats in the whole world." Matthew 13 again. He said in verse 52, "For from henceforth," from now on, Jesus said 2,000 years ago, "there shall be five in one house divided. Three against two and two against three." Listen carefully. "The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Man, there's a whole lot of division going on. And it's all because of Jesus, for he is the crisis. Verse 54, he said to the people, "When you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, 'There comes a shower,' and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, 'There will be heat,' and it comes to pass. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? And yes, why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right?" So again, these scriptures, I believe, are pointed. I believe that they are instructive. And I believe we would all do well to allow them to seep deep into us. There's no getting out of this life easy, folks. There's no getting out. You didn't come into this world easy. You came through the canal or the birthing canal of your mother's womb, and it was great tribulation. You came in with tribulation. The Bible says we're going out through tribulation. And there is a great tribulation that the nations of the earth will have to go through. And I'm here to tell you, your life is not going to be aborted. You're not going to die in the transition from this world into the kingdom, from the temporary world to the eternal world. We are going to keep on preaching. We're going to keep on teaching. We're going to keep on edifying and encouraging one another to keep doing what is right before the Lord and allow the power of the cross to crucify those obstinate areas of our life. We are going to continue to make our works perfect before God. We are going to continue to grow in love. We are going to continue to walk in the integrity of the gospel, the teaching, the instructions of Jesus Christ. We must, for if we don't, if we start lightening up and giving up and kind of laying down, you saw what will happen. This world will overtake us in a moment, and we'll be sucked into the vortex of selfishness, and we will respond and react to people and things in a way that is not pleasing to the Lord, and then we're in big trouble. We're not going there. You're not going there. If you keep listening to this radio station, if you keep listening to these broadcasts, you're not going to go there. You're going to get built up. You're going to get strong. Now, right now, my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, is coming on the air. She's going to go further than this general outline today, and she's going to teach you how to deal with issues in your life that may be a little bit difficult and how maybe you're having a struggle getting things right. Listen, it's time for humility. It's time for people to say what they need to say. I'm not getting it. I'm not winning. I'm not battling. I'm not getting through. I need help. And if you feel that you need help, there is help available to each and every one of us. There's hope. There's help. And if you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes, Patricia Joy Xavier is coming up. And I've got a beautiful song I want to leave with you. And I want it to be an inspiration to you. And I want to ask the Lord to really bless each and every one that's out there today with this simple little song by my dear friend, somebody I grew up with. And that is Keith Green. Okay? So get ready, on your mark, get set, and go.
Pastor Vincent Xavier, and it's good to be with you today, and we are going to be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. What did you hear? Was it the blowing of the trumpet? Was it the boys crying out in the wilderness? Omega Radio, and Pastor Vincent Xavier, and those that have been on this radio station are crying out to you. They are the voice crying out in the wilderness. And let me say this too, watchmen on the wall. Let's ask this question that Leonard Ravenhill asked. Where are the Elijahs of God? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? We answer where he has always been on the throne, but where are the Elijahs of God? We know Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, but alas, we are not men of like prayer as he was. One praying man stands as a majority with God. Today, God is bypassing men, not because they are too ignorant, but because they are too self-sufficient. Brethren, our abilities are our handicaps, and our talents are our stumbling blocks. Out of obscurity, Elijah came onto the Old Testament stage, a full-grown man, and Queen Jezebel, that daughter of hell, had routed the priests of God and replaced them with groves to false deities. Happening today, there are groves of false deities, false gods, and it's being raised up and presented, and it is being cried out through the airways and computers. And darkness covered the land, and gross darkness the people, and they were drinking iniquity like water, like we are today. Every day the land falled with heathen temples, and we have them here in the United States, and idolatrous rites, and it's being done here in this nation, saw smoke curling from 1,000 cruel altars. Elijah lived with God. He thought about the nation's sin like God. He grieved over sin like God. Spoke against sin like God. He was all passion in his prayers and passionate in his denunciation of evil in the land. He had no smooth preaching. Passion fired his preaching, and his words were like on the hearts of men as molten metal on their flesh. Brethren, if we will do God's work in God's way, at God's time, with God's power, we shall have God's blessing and the devil's curses. But Pastor Patricia, that can't be true. You're talking against the devil's curses. Yes, I am. But as this article goes on, it says, when God opens the windows of heaven to bless us, the devil will open the doors of hell to blast us. We're seeing this today, just in the same manner as Elijah. And God's smile means the devil's frown. Mere preachers may help anybody and hurt nobody. Prophets will stir everybody and madden somebody. The preacher may go with the crowd. The prophet goes against it. A man freed, fired, and filled with God will be branded unpatriotic because he speaks against his nation's sins. Unkind because his tongue is a two-edged sword. Unbalanced because the weight of preaching opinion is against him. Preachers make pulpits famous. Prophets make prisons famous. The preacher will be heralded. The prophet will be hounded. Oh, brother preachers, we love the old saints, missionaries, martyrs, reformers, our Luthers, our Bunyans, our Wesleys, our Asburys. We will write their biographies, reverence their memories, frame their epitaphs, and build their monuments. We will do anything except imitate them. We cherish the last drop of their blood, but watch carefully the first drop of our own. This is the call that we have been hearing. It is the spirit of Elijah speaking out over the airwaves to turn the hearts of men toward God as never before. Elijah did so, and he was taken up into heaven because God was pleased with him. Do you want God to be pleased with you in such a manner that you don't even have to taste death? And so I tell you that you are even greater because Elijah had the Holy Spirit upon him, but we, from Christ being our Lord and Master in the New Testament, given to us by crucifixion and the resurrection, has the Holy Spirit within us and not just upon us. To the cry of the prophets. Listen to the watchmen on the wall. Don't criticize them. Be grateful that they are there, moving in God's spirit, magnificently moving to open the ears of the deaf and the eyes of the blind, and to unlock the prison doors. Now I will ask of you to not only listen, but respect those that are worthy of respect on the airwaves, in the church pulpit. Be aware of those that are not speaking God's will. Be aware of those tickling your ears. Be aware of those that are telling you there will be peace and safety from the pulpit and all is okay, when the word of God says that they are false prophets because they do not speak my heart. My heart is to warn and be prophetic, and the utterance is to deliver and preparation for the body of, and those that are listening. And part of that preparation is deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, in which I call it. Be aware of those who are speaking smooth things from the pulpit or from the airwaves, be it radio, television, computers. Be aware of those speaking the truth that are warning the people of what's to come, to prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is being established through those who will hear and be prepared. And how do we unlock these prison doors of our hearts so we could be aware of the presence of the Spirit and the angels of God guiding and directing us in this moment? The only way to unlock the prison door of our hearts is through forgiveness. I am ministering to many right now that are in bondage. They are in bondage to fear and trepidation. They cannot seem to come out of it. And the reason is deep within is unforgiveness, also toward themselves and others, that they have not been able to come into commune with as the truth, to realize and see it within them, because Satan has covered their eyes through false teachings and their ears not to hear. But I am crying out, forgiveness is a choice, regardless of what our feelings may be telling us. We must make a willful choice to forgive. And it is difficult. It is hard, especially when the same people continue to do the same things over and over again to you. And you have forgiven them, but it comes again. The Bible says that we are to forgive 70 times 7 in a day. This is a work of the Spirit. And you and I who have received the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father have the ability through the enabler, the power of the Holy Spirit, to forgive no matter how many times we have to forgive. It is a choice. Regardless of what our feelings may be telling us, we must make a willful choice to forgive over and over and over again, if necessary, to stay clean. And the Lord will be pleased, and He will help us be overcomers. We must forgive others who have sinned against us, or God will not forgive our sins against Him. Consider it carefully. We are crying out, be heard. And let me pose an interesting question. Can we afford not to forgive? That's what Christ died on the cross for. It was all about forgiveness of our sins and for the sins of the world. Can we afford not to forgive? His horrible death and crucifixion that is beyond anything we can understand in the physical. Because he took upon himself, he took our sins, our fears, our murderous tongues, all that we do as human beings upon the cross, upon himself, and went to hell because of it, but overcame the devil, resurrected out of that grave, and gave us resurrection power by the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Can we afford not to forgive? Do we not want to be forgiven for all that we have done incorrectly and wrong toward others? And knowingly have realized that this has been the effect of our lives as to where we are now? It is absolutely essential that we be cleansed of all unforgiveness when we go forth to war against the powers of darkness. As Elijah did, we must also. He went to war against the powers of darkness, against the priest gods, against Jezebel in her spirit. And he found himself running. But he went to war against unforgiveness. Let us go forth to war against the powers of darkness as he did. Let us do it. But we must forgive. And he had to forgive Jezebel. You know, we have been given so much in the New Testament, and yet more is expected of us because of it. If we do not forgive, we will become open targets for Satan's attacks. And they're grueling. They are grueling attacks, and they're coming in greater and greater. But our forgiving heart will enlighten us by the power of the Holy Spirit to do the will of God, to be led by His Holy Spirit, to be directed perfectly. And 10,000 will fall at our right. No, 1,000 will fall at our right and 10,000 at our side. But we will not be touched. So we must be cleansed of all unforgiveness. when we go forth against the powers of darkness. The authority that believers have in the name of Jesus comes through our true salvation. But the power comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of others who have come against us. Now we're equipped. Now we are ready for the kingdom work. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because we have unlocked the prison door of our hearts through forgiveness. Because now when we go forth to do war against the powers of darkness, we have been cleansed and made whole and ready and forgiven, perfectly forgiven for true salvation. Now the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon us and empowers us to do great exploits. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to man and the forgiveness toward others and ourselves, and we have been forgiven, together becomes the image of the transformed life. And this in itself is the incredible work of God. But I must say this, all that we need from God has already been provided through the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. We need no other thing except to receive and to do the will of He who sent us for the redemption of our sins and through the power of His word. This is directed through the revelation of His Holy Spirit, and we simply must receive the truth, cleansed of all unforgiveness in our hearts. Father, from the depths of our heart, any unforgiveness from the time we have been a little child till this very day that has lingered in our heart toward another, including ourselves, cleanse us of this unrighteousness. For Jesus, you paid such a dear price to set us free in this arena, this area. And Lord, help us in our new freedom to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit granted to us from the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ when He sent His Spirit and the fire fell upon the 120 that were in the upper room, now fall upon us in the same manner and utilize us to do great and mighty exploits through the gifts that You granted us. Let's receive this truth and act upon it. All that we need from God, like I said, has already been provided through the shed blood of Jesus at the cross for the redemption of our sins and through the power of His word and the Holy Ghost. This is directed through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. We simply must receive the truth and act upon it and stop not being forgiving. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, seeing that all who come to the Father through Him will receive the promises of God. Now that your heart is cleansed of all unforgiveness, receive the promises of God. Beloved, He has already done everything necessary for us. But now we must learn how to fight spiritual warfare. We then become God's militant church, the overcomers. We finally become the warriors that God called us to be. He has been preparing His army for 2,000 years for a time such as this. It is now in the final stages of preparation as the Holy Spirit pours forth the truth of the word in all power That is what you are listening to, with knowledge and wisdom as we receive it and act upon it. Are you ready? Are you truly forgiven because you forgave others their trespasses against you? Have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment upon you, Jesus Christ, the baptizer of the Holy Ghost upon your life to empower you to do exploits, to do miracles, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to open blind eyes, to do works of faith impossible any other way? To receive tongues and interpretation of tongues. Don't turn away from 1 Corinthians 12. Read it. Become partakers of the baptism of the Holy Spirit now that you are cleansed from all unforgiveness. This is all God asks of you. Then other generational bloodline curses begin to fall off as you take your eye to the work of the evil one trying to hinder your work now and rebuke him. And then he will flee like you could not believe, because you are now empowered by the Holy Spirit and cleansed and made whole. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, until now, we have not fully understood what it takes to become this foretold army of God. Satan is a beaten foe, already been done on the cross, but your unforgiveness toward others have kept him alive. He had a right upon your purchased property, the purchased property, because you opened the door through unforgiveness, even after you received Christ as your personal Savior. Be cleansed now. Satan is a beaten foe, defeated by the blood of Christ at the cross. And then you may again ask the question, how come he is so active if he is a defeated foe? The answer is that we, the body of Christ on earth, have not yet learned how to use the spiritual weapons of God's arsenal individually and collectively, and we have not truly forgiven those that we must forgive. Satan was put to judgment long ago when he acted illegally against Christ at the cross, but our part in that judgment is to execute judgment as instructed. But we must be cleansed of all unforgiveness. And we must forgive ourselves. Satan then, when he comes, cannot erect his fortress around and about you. Then the strong man can't continue to take his position, because your house has been filled. Your house is yourself. And it's been filled with the glorious truth of our Lord Jesus Christ through forgiveness and forgiving those who have aught against you and have hurt you. Unforgiveness has been in your life. Now you're ready to execute the judgment as instructed. And Joshua was told to take the promised land. And although he was promised victory, the people of Israel still had to war against their enemies. You must still war against the enemy of your soul. And he'll come in different ways and manners. And you need to be aware that no weapon formed against you can prosper now. Who is it that has deceived us into thinking it is different for us today as it was then in the day of Elijah or Joshua. But we have something Joshua and the people of that time did not have. We have the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit of God living within us and not just upon us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to the Lord. I would like to ask you to be a help in the work we're doing. We are wanting to build just an incredible system that will help us get the word out to multitudes of people. What we're doing now on Omega Radio is reaching nations all over the world. And the people are hearing, we are getting responses. But we would like your help, please, not only in prayer, and that is most important, but in finances. For a donation of $20, I will send you my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. It will help you become the body in which God has called you to be, working within and without, to be the individuals cleansed, made whole, ready, tearing down strongholds. And the devil in your life will have no more power over you as he had. You will not fear him. You will understand the truth, because the truth will set you free. And I pray, God, you will be part of this. You know, we want to reach every nation on this earth. Every nation matters. Every individual matters. And we have been called, we have been commissioned, you and I, to do this. No one has the freedom to just sit back and not do so. Hear the cry. And the time is short. Jesus said that before he returns, the good news about the kingdom, the message of salvation, should be preached throughout the world and to motivate everyone. And this is the good news of the kingdom. We have the power to overcome the enemy himself. It has already been done. Now rise up to be the overcomers that you are and be used by God in a mighty way as his army. His kingdom has come within you and within I, to do the mighty works and the exploits he has called us to do, as he did on the face of the earth, and even in a greater, mightier way, because there are more of us than there were. Multitudes are hearing the cry. It is time. It is time. It is time. Rise up, body of Christ. Move mightily upon this earth. Listen to the call of the prophet. Listen to the call of the watchman on the wall. Listen to the call of deliverance. It is being granted to you. Now receive it. In Yeshua's name, I pray you do. We are thankful that you are listening in every way. God bless you. Cleansed, you are made whole. You are victorious in Jesus Christ, our Lord.